Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday special episode of the You Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. Jordana, we are joined by a very special guest. She is on tour right now. The comeback tour is going to be headlining Radio City Music Hall on June 17th. Heather McMahon, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Unbelievable.
Look at us all in black today.
We just did it.
Welcome
all
to New York.
NYC.
So New York. I got my Nike Dunks on. I've got a leather jacket. I'm just cooler than all hell.
Love it.
You look extreme. And you're gonna be on Watch What Happens Live tonight, which is probably, you know,
the most iconic New York thing you can do.
Exactly. The coolest thing you could possibly do in New York while wearing black too.
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing. Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
That's Jared, like, and I are so focused on two different things.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, who are you
sitting next to?
Yeah.
This is my dream. Do you know Andy? Are you going to be?
So I did it once over the pandemic over Zoom, and it wasn't the same. You know, this is my first time in the clubhouse. I have picked out, and I wear a lot of glitter on stage, but I picked out the most glittery outfit. Like, I am showing up looking like an absolute prostitution whore, and I could not be more excited.
That's the vibe.
Right. Yeah. Titties will be to my throat.
Especially on Jersey night.
Jersey night. Yeah. I told my makeup artist, I was like, I want to be so beat. Like, I want people to think.
you have pepper spray under your fingernails
and
you're ready
exactly.
to go?
Yes, exactly. I want to scare people and turn them on at the same time.
Throat, titties, and glitter. That's the next tour name.
Truly. That's the memoir name.
Right.
Throat, titties, and glitter.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you do to prepare for something like that?
For Watch What Happens Live?
Right. Because I'm unfamiliar. I know the show, but I'm not you guys. Well, the minute, you know, you said you're going there tonight, Jordana lit up and
I've been on as a lowly bartender twice for promoting our books, but never being a guest is like so cool, especially on a good night, which this is a great night.
I mean, it's Jersey night, so it's going to be wild. But they pepper you with questions. When Andy does it, it's very quick. You know, it's only a 30-minute show. So I've kind of been having my friends just kind of, you know, yell at me and like scare me a little bit to keep me on my toes. I thought about maybe taking an upper, like, is it an Adderall night? But I think you actually need to be a little bit more calm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think if I'm speedballing, it's not going
to... You got to be receiving. You got to be ready to improv. You got to be ready
exactly.
to yes and.
Yes,
you know,
and.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Do they give you the questions before?
They give you a loose outline, but I feel like the last time I did it over Zoom, like, it changed. So.
Zoom is so... You and I
have never actually met in person.
We've known each other for like years now. We were just talking about
through
how
the
like
comedy scene,
yeah,
through just doing each other's podcast,
okay.
like over Zoom, and it's like,
yeah,
you know someone, but you don't. I've always felt a kinship with you, Heather McMahon.
I absolutely agree.
How is her Zoom energy versus her IRL energy?
It's exactly what I expected. It's everything and more. I'm so happy about
it. Right back at you.
This is all great.
Yeah.
I mean, her husband, I mean, I feel like I know your husband.
Yeah, and you kind of look like my husband in a way. Like, good eyebrows, good dark hair.
Brow brothers. He went to Penn State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Around the same era, fraternity guy.
Yeah, just the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay.
Very a good New York Northerner.
You know each other very well.
I just feel like I've known, you know, you meet someone, you feel like you've known them years and years.
Like
I
home.
Feel that way with Heather McMahon.
Right there, right
there. I could see you having that effect on, you know, many people that you come into, that you like meet.
I agree.
Just feel comfortable. I feel like you have an immediate comforting presence.
That is very kind. What if you were like, I feel like you're a huge cunt.
I feel an immediate toxic energy.
I felt immediately judged toxic energy. I have that face that's very familiar. And people don't know who I am, like their comedy. They always come up to me and they're like, I know you from somewhere. I just have, I think, soft Southern features.
Okay.
And I have a deep, raspy voice. So it's very soothing. Mm-hmm. And people will tell me the craziest shit. If I'm sitting at a bar or the Sky Club at the airport, people will come up to me and literally tell me where the bodies are buried.
That I can understand. No,
likability
is something people would buy if they could. Right. Well, you're going to hear about where the bodies are buried. Because here's how I know you're likable, okay? Here's how I know.
Let's
I'm so
it.
Nervous.
Sometimes people post their wedding on social media and you're like, fuck this person. I am sick of this person.
I usually mute the person through the week before the wedding, right, up until after the honeymoon.
You
got to
get out. It's over. I've had enough of these people. I was tuned into Heather McMahon's wedding, and she didn't have a wedding that I pitied. It wasn't a wedding I thought. It was a wedding, an aspirational Italy wedding.
That you were intrigued by.
I couldn't look away. I tweeted about it.
Oh, wow.
I'm posting on social media about a wedding, about her wedding that I'm not even invited
Amazing.
To.
Amazing.
Going, I've never, and people on Twitter, it was like a highly engaged with this week. Like other people were like, I was like, I was saying something that was on people's minds.
But, yeah.
Her wedding was unbelievable
and
interesting. And like, I was like, and Jeff with the golf clubs, like, I think you and your husband have an aspirational couple. Like, I think that's like.
I love that you just said that.
I do think that. Because I think you guys live a nice life.
Yeah.
And people, and you're both like, you're like an I Love Lucy to his, you know, Ricky Ricardo. Like there's like a.
You finally nailed it because I can't figure it out. I could not figure out who, that is it. That's 100% it.
Because I was thinking on the way here, I was like, why am I so interested in the daily living of Heather McMahon and Jeff?
Yeah. Someone's has to be. I think that's a great point. Like you have to be really likable for someone to actually enjoy your wedding content.
You have to be the most likable person. Yeah. I hate everyone. And I'm watching. She had a charcuterie. There was a person in a charcuterie dress. I'm remembering Heather's wedding.
I feel like you told me about this.
I did.
You told me about this.
And you know that man. So there's a man in a... Okay, so, you know, I wear a lot of animal print. So my wedding planner had all the servers at the welcome party wear animal print, right? Okay. And they're in Italy, so it's like a real... It's like Versace cheetah.
That sounds amazing.
And then he had on this skirt that was filled with meat. It was like a tiered skirt that would literally have like pieces of salami and
ham.
The
man with the skirt.
The man with the skirt. Right. And he sexually harassed everyone at my wedding. So he was going up to my friend's husbands and being like, you know, like, you won't be with that woman for very long. And like a lot of my guy friends were like, dude, the guy with the meat's fucking assaulting me right now. I was like, welcome to Italy.
Right. He knows that his job is important enough that whatever he says, it doesn't matter. He's not getting kicked out.
Yes. Right.
And he can do a lot of meat. You know, references to his penis and things of that nature.
Well, and then he came back out and did a little costume swap, still in like the skirt, and he was the cannoli person. So for the dessert.
I mean, more penis euphemisms for this guy.
He was sticking, you know, he had the cannoli shell, and then he'd do fresh cream.
Come on.
And he would literally look you in the eyes and be like, ugh. Like, it was so out of control. And obviously, as a comedian, I'm like, I see what my wedding planner did there. She got somebody with a little pizzazz.
Right.
But at one point, I locked eyes with him, and he was fake coming, and I was like, no, it's got to stop.
It was funny the first five times.
Yeah. You hit the line.
And now grandma's uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, I watched this wedding, and I was like, I can't believe how much enjoyment I'm getting out of someone else's wedding content.
That means so much to me. You have no idea, because I went so over budget. And
Well, you were a COVID bride. Yeah. Right.
I was a bitter cunt. I was just, you know, we had to reschedule it 600 times. And that's what makes you crazy. Because when I was sitting at home for like 2.5 years, I was just like, okay, well, you know what? Now that we've had time, because what I originally had planned by the time it got to the wedding, I wanted to rechange. I was like, the flower colors have to change, all this shit. I really wasn't Bridezilla though. I was cool. But as an entertainer, I was like, I want people to leave this wedding and be like, that was the fucking best day of my life.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to razzle dazzle.
You want them to walk away from the show with 5-star reviews. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I am only as good as this first wedding, you know?
Well, no, I think that's amazing that you also made it like funny and fun, because I feel like even if, like, I would consider myself generally a funny, fun person, but then when it came to the wedding, I was like, somehow you feel more pressure to make it like super, you know, by the glam, by the book, serious. Like, it's like, we're not fucking around here. But I like that, like, I wish when I look back, I'm like, I wish my wedding had a little bit more like humor to it.
Well, I think you're right. This is what we do as adults. As you get older, you get safer.
Right.
You know, because like I'll go on a trip with a bunch of guys from college, and there's always the one guy that's like, we got to do 8 a.m. golf. And you're like, why do we have to do that? And it's like, because if it goes badly, he can go home and go, We played golf.
Exactly. Like,
at a baseline, he got golf in, even though no one there wants to do this. There's people doing drugs on the course. You're like, we should have done this at a pool party.
Right. Like, so if he's like, I got blown at 7:30 in the morning, but then we played golf.
Right.
So it wasn't cheating.
It wasn't cheating. We were at golf. We had a great time.
Right. But you feel like you have something to prove. And I think that's sort of like the crux of it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP. If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. So, I mean, this is a dating and relationship podcast. So tell us, how did you meet your husband? How long have you been together? What was it like dating before him? Give us the whole...
Okay, it's been a wild ride. We met at a gay bar in Hell's Kitchen. It's a beer bar called Valhalla, I think, on 54th and 10th. And so Jeff comes like from a big...
about penis, you know, puns and euphemisms.
Not somewhere you would expect to meet your husband.
No, not at all. And you know,
I mean, unless you're a gay man,
Right. And a lot of men being like, Thor's, you know, mighty, you know, hammer. You know,
I thought I was going to end up with like a Norwegian prince, you know, but I, Jeff has, comes from a big Italian family and two of his cousins, their brothers, they're gay. So I was buddies with them and they're like, let's go out. Jeff's in town. Let's bring him out. So
where's he coming in town from?
He was working in Nashville at the time, but he's from New York. So I'm sitting in the bar with our mutual girlfriend and he walks in the bar and I said, oh my God, that's who I'm going to marry. And I didn't know that they knew him. I didn't know he was the straight cousin. I just thought he was like a hot guy. Yeah.
Do we think women just say that about every guy they're about to meet?
No, I promise you. Okay. I had been with so many guys beforehand and he walked in. And when I look back at a photo of the night we met, which was 12 years ago, he looked ill. He had like bad hair. He was sweaty. He was a little jaundiced. And we have a photo from that night and we both laughed so hard at this. I'm like, you looked like you're a Make-A-Wish patient. I don't know why.
So I don't know why. It about him. You just don't remember?
I think he was the only guy that had hit on me in New York City for the first time and like, that was over like 6'1". Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I get the tiniest Jewish guy. guys who, you know, shout out to my Jewish kings. But it was
what up, Goldbergs?
What up, Silverstein? What a do. But I'm a tall girl, so right. He walked in and I was like, this is the first guy I've literally seen in my presence over 6'1". And I don't know what it was. And he, and my girlfriend, Christine, I turned to her, I go, that's who I'm going to marry. And she goes, Jeff? And I go, you fucking know him? She's like,
I fucking Christine. I hope she didn't get invited to the wedding. If I'm Jeff, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she's
Jeff?
I hope that was on our story page.
Right.
Yeah. We did say that on our story page. We were just like, met at a gay bar. Here we are. Let's fucking go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
like
a great our story page. I mean,
I
would not, if someone reaction to me, you know, oh, look at that guy, Jared.
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole. Get the fuck out of here.
She had known him. They're best friends since they were fifth grade. Right. So that's like her brother. She's like, that's the one? And I was like, that's the one. Yeah, we've been together ever since. But we met before like internet dating. I mean, I think I had done match.com like once.
Okay.
I gave my mom my password because I was like too lazy to do it. And she found a guy in New York who was like a vet. God bless him. And I zoomed in on the photo one day and he didn't have legs. And I said, and I love a handicapable man, you know what I mean?
Right.
I love that.
Okay.
You know, that's no hate, no shade. But I remember just being like, oh, Mom, you didn't zoom in on the iPad. She didn't know how to work it. And I said, it's going to be hard in New York City.
12 years ago, you meet him in New York.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting for someone like, you know, he lives in Nashville. How do you start from those, you're living in New York at the time.
Yeah.
How do you start dating someone when they're in Nashville, you meet him at the gay bar, you know, Thor's Hammer.
Can whatever. I be honest with you? Ended up being long distance. He came back to New York and then I moved to LA. We were long distance for 8 out of the 12 years.
Oh my God.
And it fucking worked. People have this idea that long distance is just the hardest thing.
I fucking loved it. Okay.
Really? Yes, because you see them every like 2 weeks, maybe out on the weekends or whatever. You come in, you have great sex, you go to fabulous restaurants, and then send their asses home.
Get to what miss was, them.
Yeah, you get to miss them.
Yeah.
What was the key to long distance? If someone's out there being like, I want to be in the Heather McMahon mindset.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to trust them. These girls or guys were like, well, I don't know what they're doing on a Friday night. If I didn't hear from Jeff, I knew exactly what he was doing.
Masturbating.
Jerking off hard to my photos. And
going
weeping.
Hard at it, yeah.
That's the beauty of a long-distance relationship is you can trust they actually might be jerking off to your picture.
Yeah.
As opposed to like when you're in a long-term relationship. That would be like, everyone would think they were crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Right. They're missing you. That is a little nice. Mm-hmm. There's such a thing as missing too much. Like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you know, you definitely have to keep the spark alive, but I think it's just fun. Like when you do long distance, we really like enjoyed spending time together. And now I'm back on the road. So I'm touring right now and it's nice because we get to see each other for like 48 hours.
Right.
And then I'm like, gotta go. You know,
wow.
I don't know if, you know, what will happen if we have kids and then we're like locked in the house together.
COVID
almost killed us.
Were you nervous about like when you finally weren't long distance? Were you nervous that it was going to be weird?
A little bit. Yeah, honestly so. And there were things, I mean, even though we've been together 12 years, like I've learned new things about him where I'm like, I didn't realize you had this like weird quirk. You know what I mean?
What's a weird quirk?
Okay, so when Jeff makes eggs in the morning, so he has the raw yolk, right? Mm-hmm. Pours it in the bowl or takes it from the bowl, pours it in the pan, and then he'll take his finger and just like, lick up some more raw batter.
Oh wow!
He'll lick
because he likes the way it tastes.
Yeah,
like icing,
like cookie dough.
Yes, like if you were to make fudge brownies and you had the dough in the bowl, he does a little lick
like
raw
egg.
And okay.
Have to leave him.
I do.
It's over.
I served him papers when I saw this. I was like, Jeff, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, what? It was like almost like a nervous tic. I said, this is fucking weird. That's weird.
On the contrary, I think it's kind of hot.
You
know?
Do?
Yeah.
Raw yolk?
Yeah, don't give a
you
shit.
Sick fuck.
You know, like it's raw meat. Like, oh, I don't need it to be cooked. I'll eat the cow. Just right.
Right.
He did say, he was like, bodybuilders do this. I was like, babe, you're not a bodybuilder.
Well, we also know he's not Jewish now. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to shit for 3 years.
Right, doesn't have a sensitive stomach. I think, you know.
Oh, he does.
There's something strong about this.
Yeah, he does. But there's a thing that straight guys do where y'all would just have diarrhea for like 2 months and like not do anything about it. And that's concerning.
Yes. I'm in my cycle right now.
Yeah. What's your prebiotic, probiotic regimen?
I have nothing.
You're like,
I've done nothing.
Black iced coffee.
Black iced coffee and alcohol. That'll fix it.
That's for sure.
That'll get my dumb stronger.
And you're also Jewish. You've got the stomach problems already.
I would live in the bathroom if I could.
Mm-hmm.
We just discussed this in our last episode, basically.
Yeah.
Would Jeff pee outside?
What do you mean? Pee, like outdoors?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, we can give you our red flag or deal breaker from our last one because we were very divided on this. A woman goes on a date with this guy. They go to like an, I think they went to an NBA game. She said he went to the bathroom like 5 times at the game. And then they're walking from the game to the bar. It's like a 20-minute walk. They're 15 minutes into their walk. And the guy goes and pees on the wall. And then goes and then comes and then she keeps walking and then she went home because she was like so turned off. So do you think this is like a red flag or a deal breaker?
And this is like one of their first dates.
This is second date.
Is it the second date?
Second
date. No, that's fucking weird.
Yes.
Oh and my God. Thank you. I can't but believe I'm so mad.
I knew it.
Like now, if Jeff was like, "Oh, I gotta piss," like said it like that, and we were walking over the Rangers game last night, I'd be like, "Okay, I got your back." Like I would cover
it'd be
for
a
him.
Team effort. Team in that effort. Case,
but you're married.
We're married. Yes.
Yeah.
You've already established. I said. If there was an emergency and they had to do it, it would be fine if they showed an extreme amount of shame. They had to be really ashamed of themselves.
I hear you. Yeah, like, God, this is so embarrassing. I got a UTI, I got a bladder issue. Some sort of explanation.
And then it's okay, you feel bad. If they're just doing, pretending it's normal.
Yeah.
That's the, Jared thought it was fine.
He thought
she was the problem.
Right. She got too angry.
Imagine that. Right. Imagine that.
You women. Yeah.
I mean, the long walk home after a game, I hear it. But no, that's on the second date. Or be like, this is so embarrassing. Like you said, the shame. It's so embarrassing. I have got a tiny urethra. I got to pee right now.
Shame. I think you can get away with a lot if you just express that you're very embarrassed.
I wouldn't be embarrassed. I would go, hey, I know this is bad, but I got to go to the bathroom again. It's going to come out if I don't go down this alleyway.
Would you stand guard?
You're the blockade.
No, if it was your wife, then I would expect her to stand
guard. Different story.
But
second date.
Second date, it's no.
You both live in Atlanta now.
Yeah, we are ATLians.
He is not an ATL person.
He's not, but
How has that been?
He's adjusted to the country club lifestyle. He is a lady of leisure. His best friend is the starter at the golf course. Like we live right next door to our country club. I mean, we've become as white Southern waspy as we could possibly be. And he's thriving.
Like, right.
And this is a country club that I grew up at. And now, you know, we're members there. We go to like the bar and he just is friends with like all these 70-year-old dudes and their BFF. And I don't know what the fuck they do in the men's locker room, but it's kind of cute. Yeah,
that's great. Well, it's almost like you're in a back in a retirement college setting.
Oh, he's
setting.
Fully retired. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I wonder about that because it's like your hometown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This guy's got to come into your world, so to speak. Is there like, I don't, you know, how do you ingratiate? So, and he's a Northeast guy. So like,
yeah,
you know, I think a lot, you know, there's a little bit of like.
I thought he was in Nashville.
He's
from New York. He was just there doing the finance shit. Okay. It is interesting. There has been a little bit of a learning curve where Jeff doesn't realize like in the South, you get more, you know, you get more bees with honey than with vinegar because he really likes to like if the garbage guy didn't show up. He's like, I'm going to fucking be at the end of the driveway. I'm going to let them know. My mom's like, tip them $20 and they'll show up on time.
Right.
You know, it's been, and my mom's a Yankee. She's from Boston. And she's just like, I got to tell you how to do this. Like in the South, you cannot be aggressive with people. You got to bring a man's, I'm gonna pray for you, and then that's how you get what you need.
Okay,
so she was like a good teacher for him being from the Northeast.
Absolutely, he got somebody at our club. He had like his hat on backwards when he came in from the golf course, and some guy was like, "Young man, you gotta turn your hat around." Jeff's like, "What did you say?" And then he's like, "I said, Jeff, you say yes, sir. Turn your hat around and go about your way, and then that guy will be selling you weed in like an hour. You know what I mean?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that energy.
No, I could see that coming from New York because if someone's nice to you in New York, you like think that they're even scarier.
Oh my God.
There's nothing more terrifying than your neighbor trying to like to talk to you in the hallway.
Oh my God. What's your name? Get the fuck away. Yes. Yeah. Like, what's my name?
I will stab you in the throat.
Right. Yeah. Someone asking for directions on the street, I never break stride.
Yeah.
When they go, hey, which way is Third Avenue? That way as I'm walking.
Right.
Yeah,
no
Jeff
stopping.
Definitely had to like let down the guard that everybody's out to get you. And I've had to teach him how to be like very positive because it's just a natural New York thing where you're like, I don't trust that guy. What the fuck is you know, the gardener doing? He's looking at me funny. And I'm like, he's just trying to, you know,
be
make
nice.
Human contact.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to smile, you know.
Just trying to build community.
Yeah. Right. The best was Jeff.
Culture shock.
Well, Jeff one time was in our backyard. He was like chipping, you know, doing a golf drill in the backyard. And we had a mole that came up. Okay. Moles are a big thing in Georgia. Jeff starts screaming, babe, come out. You got to look at this. I said, what? And he's like, look, it's a field mouse with an attitude. And I said, what? And I go, Jeff, that's a mole. He goes, never heard of it. Don't know what it is. That's a field mouse with an attitude. I was like, oh my God,
sassy. Jeff.
Sassy. Everything's got an attitude.
I'm that's like, so funny. Mm-hmm. No, you, I wouldn't know what a mole was if I saw know. It, I think. Either.
They do have scary faces, kind of like a platypus. Like they have these long noses out. And their eyes are kind of like too far apart.
And what size are they?
Small, like a rat.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mom put out all these plastic snakes around the house in Florida. And,
why?
Because she's trying to get rid of the birds. Oh, so she okay. solved her bird problem.
Did scare them? Did that work?
Well, it scared me. Yeah. I walked out and I went, ah! And I was like, oh my God, thank God nobody saw this. Like, any different animal
yeah.
coming across my, you know,
yeah,
my
you're
vision.
Not used to that.
Not
yeah, only
used
just,
to
only like mice.
Yeah, mole would yeah. freak me out.
That'd be scary.
Yeah, I don't do it with the vermin. I'm very excited here in New York that y'all have a rat czar. I'm just pro rat czar. I saw a giant ratatouille last night the size of a Pomeranian. I can't fucking do it. And I lived in the city for years, and I just don't know how y'all are surviving this rat infestation. It's gotten worse.
I guess you don't really see it unless you're like in the subway looking down.
No, they were running across First Avenue last night. Just yeah, skeeting across the street.
I saw a couple having dinner at a restaurant.
I believe it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Smoking a cigarette afterwards.
Yeah, just hanging out.
I did. Well, I was at a big group dinner in the city. We were eating outside, and I saw a mouse run across the floor, and I was like, should I tell everyone and like ruin the dinner, or should I just keep it to myself and tell them after? I decided to keep it to myself. I thought that was the more respectful.
See,
it's like,
I would have been
here.
Right.
Top of the
entrees
bar.
Are served.
Yeah.
And if they didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Right. I'm the only one who knows.
Right.
Yeah. Until now.
Could you do the rest of the dinner? Did you like have your feet kind of like slowly like airlifted off the floor?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just decided, you know, just in case to let them take it.
I've never been like grossed out by the rats in New York, to tell you the truth. Like
really?
I see them and I just go, it's to me, it's a leaf blowing by. Like they never bothered me.
That's my one thing. But snakes I can handle, spiders I can handle, any other kind of vermin, but there's something about the rat with the tail because they have teeth. Mm. That fucks me up.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Does Jeff ever come with you on the road?
He does. But you know, Jeff enjoys the attention, so he'll do his own meet and greets sometimes. And I'm like, I just did three shows. We got to get on the fuck it. Like, we got to go. We got to roll.
He's out there shaking hands and kissing babies?
Oh, I tell Jeff, like, if it's a really crazy show, I'm like, listen, just stay backstage. But Jeff, I can always tell when he's gone out to like the sound booth to watch the show because you just hear this roar and he's just out there like, you know, waving his hands like he's Princess Diana. I'm like, fucking kill me. He loves it. He eats it up.
That's great. Probably means he's like very supportive.
Oh, he's so supportive. Right. And the whole new tour is all about like my first year marriage. And it really is kind of a roast of Jeff. Cause I, you know, it's just like what it's like. Like people don't tell you after you get married, there's a real thing called wedding depression. Mm. Like you're just on this come down of like, everyone's been celebrating you. You've never looked better. And then you realize you spent all this money and you're just at home staring at this person you're gonna spend the rest of your life with.
All you have is a photo album.
Exactly.
$10,000.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, but the likes go away. Like,
the likes,
you know,
go away.
The,
you know, something else.
Engagement party, bridal shower, honeymoon, wedding, all postable moments.
That's true.
That again, like Jeff doesn't have to deal. We've said on this podcast, like the idea of like, there's no other things for me to get out of a marriage other than the person.
Yeah.
Like there's
romantic.
No, there's
right?
no, you know, ring. There's no, you know, pictures. There's no likes. There's no, you know, bunch
you
of women are gonna like,
family.
What's that?
You could have stability in a family.
Well, that, yeah.
Not quite as
stinks.
Tangible.
That's even touch and go most right. days. Yeah.
So when you talk about this at the show, is it like, are people in the crowd, like the audience is
they're
it,
so receptive, but it's so funny. I'll always get one person be like, damn, sorry, Jeff. Like there's always one. And the first time he saw the show, and I'm really proud of the new show, but the first time he saw the show, I walked off stage and I could see him on the corner of my eye. And I was doing a show in Augusta, Georgia. I was like, I'm either going to walk off. He's going to high five me or hand me divorce papers. And I walked off and I was like, we good? And he goes, you could have gone harder. I was like,
oh,
I could have. But you know, it's always touching on like family relationships, like marriage. Just, I've seen male comedians for so long say things like, women be shopping. My
right.
wife does this.
Hold
and I was
on,
like,
stop
fuck
doing
this.
My ass.
I know, I'm sorry. So it's just one of those things where I'm like, we got to take the power back and talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what it's like from the female perspective to be married and then all these tropes that come along with it and all these expectations.
Listen, there's cliches are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. There are truth to them. But like, it was like I watching your story from your wedding to go back to the wedding of the century.
Yeah.
There's Jeff.
Jared, I got married in COVID too.
I was there. I didn't get to watch it from from the story.
No, your wedding sounds much cooler than mine.
But Jeff brought golf clubs on our honeymoon. Italy. Or to your honeymoon?
Well, yeah, he brought them to Italy. We honeymooned for a month after the wedding.
A month, amazing.
And he brought golf clubs. Now, okay. I don't know if you know this, but Italy's not a very large golfing community.
That was the thing. I was like, and I'm watching from home, you know, eating
can
my...
Can you golf in Italy? Is there a golf?
You can golf there's anywhere,
two,
but like...
Two courses.
Okay.
Right, the idea... That, and I was sitting there going, why would he bring golf clubs... Like, what a pain in the ass.
Right.
Even if you're a golfer, there's also ship sticks. Like, there's, like, ways to have clubs ship places. Mm-hmm. It's a rental. Like, I don't know how big a golfer he is, but I was watching this being like, what the fuck? And then you just...
Roasting him
and just over the month of like, where are the golf clubs? Yeah. Like, where? And you're like, this is the type of first year marriage stuff where I was like, yeah, this is a story. This is like why people would, you know, that's, you know, it's one thing that women be shopping and my husband leaves the toilet seat up.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to
men
have
be golfing.
Men be golfing. Yeah. Right. You can say that. Or you can go, we went to Italy and everywhere you go, you know, it was just so funny to watch because it was like, it became a character.
Right, like the third person on the honeymoon.
Right.
Well, and I don't talk about this in the show, but one thing people need to know is, so my husband brought the golf clubs because his golf coach said, you're going to lose your swing in a month. Like, it's a big deal. Okay? You're going to lose it. Right. You got to bring it.
I get it. I have a retainer. I understand.
Yeah, you understand. Yeah. You understand. So... He brings the golf clubs. As soon as we get to Florence, which is where we got married, he had this like little to-go bag. So we only brought a couple clubs, right? Okay. To just like, you know, a couple
just in
irons.
Case.
Just in case.
Right.
I mean, this is not like an easy thing purse. To travel with.
No, yeah. It's not an easy thing to travel with. And we get to Italy and the first thing we realize is that the strap on this like little to-go golf bag is broken. So we check into the hotel for our wedding and he is like, has a concierge basically by like the shoulder. He's like, you got to find me a leather shop to fix this bag. I can't travel all over Italy with this broken bag. And to me, I got pissed because I was like, Jeff, the first thing that you should worry about is greeting our fucking guests. And don't worry about this goddamn golf bag. And of course they're like broken Italian. They're like, we do our best and we try. And I almost choked him out the first night we got to Italy. I was like, this is not a priority. But men, and I told him this morning. We were laying in bed. I go, Jeff, we've been together 12 years, and there's something I realized about straight men. You guys are reactive, not proactive. Mm-hmm. Women are proactive. Yeah. We're like, I know that I got to think 3 days ahead or 2 hours ahead, and you know. And Jeff's just like 1 foot in front of the other.
We're fixers.
One step at a
we'll
time.
We'll fix
yeah.
it after
do
it
you
happens.
Fix it?
Well,
do
we'll try.
You?
That's why, that's why they're so annoying, because they don't get all anxious about the future.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're just thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, they're like, what am I going to eat today that's going to make me shit myself? Right. Yeah.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to
no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Should we do an email?
Yeah, let's do it.
Listen, everyone needs to go see Heather McMahon on the road. It's called the Comeback Tour, all over the country, but most importantly, Radio City Music Hall. This is a life moment.
Yeah.
We want to fill that place up. We want it packed to the gills. All the families coming to that show. That's going to be a...
My family is
your
coming.
Your family. Okay.
every family.
That's all you need to know.
Okay. That's all we'll get into. But Radio City, like, that's a huge moment. Amazing thing.
I've literally had diarrhea since the day they told me I'm going to do it. And we only have a few tickets left, so I'm just, you know, it's just insane.
It's probably too late for you guys. Right.
Get the tickets, but it's...
it's not too late.
It's not too late. But it's crazy. I mean, it's so wild. Like, and I'm an old theater nerd, so for me, this is just, like, the most iconic moment of my life. But I told my team, I was like, so this means I peaked. Like, once you do that, like, what's next?
No, it's just the beginning.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden, the moon.
The moon,
here's the thing. You're going to have a fun time at Heather McMahon Show. Yeah. There's going to be an energy there. There's going to be fun people. You're going to have a blast. Go get those tickets. Yes.
And if you want more in the short term, Absolutely Not is the name of your podcast.
Yeah.
And you can go.
Y'all are coming on.
We're going to be teared up. Yes, we're going to be on that. So you can listen to not just our episode, but every episode that you have a whole.
Yeah.
What's the library.
The library, yeah. Yes.
You want to read the email?
Yes, I will read it. Okay. Hi, J&J. I need your sage advice about friendships changing because of relationships, and I feel like this is a rich topic to discuss in general. I've been in a relationship with my girlfriend for a year and a half, and we are at the point where we don't technically live together. I've been splitting my time between my apartment where I live with roommates and her one bedroom. In the past year, I've started a new job, which demands most of my time and energy, and I've been investing time into my relationship, which has been a healthy, sustaining aspect of my life, but it's inadvertently strained a friendship. One of my close friends is currently single, and in the past, we've bonded over both being single and independent. Prior to entering my relationship, I was one of those, I hate relationships, and being single is the best, and I'll never get married, people. Turns out that it was masking some insecurities that I didn't know needed healing until I got into a healthy relationship. Shocking. I've changed a lot in the past year. I've grown personally and professionally, and I'm really proud of who I am and how I spend my time. The issue is that I'm much busier than I used to be between my job, my relationship, and my friends, and one of my close friends, who used to have relatively uninterrupted access to me in my free time, has been making comments about how I've abandoned her and how I'm never around anymore. I can tell she's upset and she won't actually talk to me and tell me what's going on. I try making plans with her to hang out one-on-one, but either we make tentative plans and something comes up on my end, or we end up hanging out and I feel like she doesn't want to be there. I can apologize for my flakiness, but at a certain point, I need to ask her to communicate directly with me. What's the best way to deal with friendship changes caused by one person getting into a relationship and the other person remaining single? How can we talk about this extremely uncomfortable reality of friendships? I still believe that being single is in no way a bad thing and that society generally unfairly privileges people in relationships over single people. But the fact remains that my time and my availability has changed, and I need to wrestle with how that is impacting my friendships with people whose time has not changed. Thanks, Busy Betch.
That is a tough pill to swallow, because I do think that when you do get in a relationship, you can get a little guilted from your single friends.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line trying to make sure, like, you don't run yourself ragged trying to get pulled in two different directions. I'm a people pleaser. I want to make everybody feel comfortable, like they have a bit of my time.
Right.
But that's hard.
I agree. And I think it's hard to have absolutely no resentment when one person is leaving a certain stage of life before a different friend.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's sort of like a mix of both, like maybe a little jealousy if the person doesn't want to be single. And then also feeling like, I think a lot of people have this feeling of like, oh, you only wanted to hang out with me because I was like your backup because you didn't have a relationship. And now you have a relationship. And I don't think
that's
fair.
Which I think is fucked up. That's not fair.
Yeah, no, I agree that's not fair, but
listen,
I think
when you're getting
feel
dicked
that
down,
way.
You're getting dicked down. It is what right. it is, right?
You got to be at that dick down appointment.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right. 3 p.m. I got
to
change.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Shit to do.
Yeah.
What and do you think, Jared?
It's tough. There's a couple things. The one is the I hate relationships and being single is the best and I'll never get married. Like, I could understand that, like, when you do that so much, again, that's, she said it's covered. We don't know. Also, I don't know the gender here. Because I'm not sure if this is, she's in a lesbian relationship because.
Or if it's man writing it.
Or if it's man writing it. And it does kind of change things for me. Like, if it's a guy writing in and his female friend is being a little resentful, you go, was there feelings there?
Right.
Why isn't this woman getting friendly with your new wife, you know, or new girlfriend? If it's a woman who's dating a woman who's dealing with, that's a little bit more, you know, I understand this in a more like a friendship way.
Right.
Because it's like, oh my God, like, you know, a lot of female friendship seems to have these, like, you've run up tabs with each other.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, I don't have that. Like, if I got invited to a baseball game a couple weeks ago, and it was a bunch of college friends, and I was like, I'm in. And then last second, I was like, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go.
Oh, wow.
And
that would not fly.
Right. I go, I'll pay for the ticket, whatever it is. I just can't go. And no questions asked, no. We were talking about you at the baseball game. Yeah. Like, there was no...
There would be so much shit talk if it was a female group of
and
friends.
And if they were, it's not like I'm not getting texts answered by people there. Like, you know, I have people, you know, there was... In my mind, I haven't been shunned. I'm not out of the group.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. Maybe I'll learn in the future that, yes, since the baseball game, we don't talk to you anymore. I don't know. But I don't feel that. So I understand with these, like, we're single. Yes, queen. And then she's like... Yeah, not anymore. And like kind of sneaks out the side door. I can understand where you've gone. You've kind of protested too much and didn't believe in the protest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you left and your friend's sitting there being like, I'm still sitting here yelling the ass queen alone.
Well, you know, like. And I totally agree with that. And then the other
nothing
thing.
Nothing sadder than a solo yes queen.
Oh my God.
It's just me in my apartment alone waiting for, And the other thing she says is that the plans haven't worked out. Because either something has come up on my end or we end up hanging out and she's annoyed at me. Well, it's like, how many times have you canceled on her?
Exactly.
I think is the other question, which she doesn't say. She just says, because usually that sentence is something comes up on one of our ends, but she didn't say that. She said something comes up on my end.
Yeah, boyfriend stuff or girlfriend stuff, you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
So I think it depends. I mean, without knowing exactly what these situations are, like, is she canceling on her a lot? I do think if you like, it's almost more important to make plans with your friends when you have a relationship just because, like, you don't want to lose every friend you have and be sucked into this thing. Although I agree, like, it's okay to hang out less, but if you're – it depends on how you do it. I think you can also do it in a cocky kind of, like, well, I'm in a relationship, so I don't have any time.
I've also had to really walk a fine line, too, of, like, when I sit with some of my single girlfriends and I'll ask them about, okay, how would the date go or whatever, I have to just sit and listen and absorb.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I realize whenever I've tried to give a little bit of advice, it's immediately, you don't understand, you've been in a relationship for years.
Right.
And so I really have to be like, you're right, okay. Even though I think I could give sound advice, I kind of just bite my tongue sometimes and go, I know you just want me to be a sounding board.
Right.
And you have to wait for questions to kind of come your way.
Exactly.
Like, but I would ask you both. You both are married. You know, was there a friend that you were like, I gotta kind of be easier with this friend than other friends? Was there a single friend in your life that you were like, and how did you handle that friend?
Right.
We all have a sensitive one. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody has a sensitive girlfriend where you're like, okay, so Caroline, I can tell to fuck off and, you know, just again, go to the club in the Hamptons and find some dick. This one, I got to sit and like let her cry for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, be like, we can do this. I definitely.
You've got to feel it out. And I think also it depends on like, if you're the kind of person who's like always in a relationship, I think that people maybe like have different expectations of you than if you've been single for a long time. People, I also think, I think like you said, the big part of it is that she used to be, I hate relationships and being single is the best and I'll never get married. And I think that there can be a sense of it feels even more like you were pretending before if you're not like acknowledging that, where you could say like, I know I said this before, but like I clearly didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Right. Or something like that.
It turns out, you know, I was looking for a relationship the whole time. That yeah.
Right. Like, and she says like that was clearly because of some insecurity. And I right. think that if you like say what the elephant in the room is, then I think that it makes people feel more comforted and less like, oh, you're who are you now? You're a totally right. different person.
And anybody who says, they're like, oh, I, you know, being single is the best. I've had good times being single. I obviously love my husband because he's right. my partner, right? Right? Like he's my buddy. But I just think, you know, you can't always be on the soapbox. Like it's never going to happen. I mean, this is actually before the words even come out of my mouth. I know that so many people are going to be like, go fuck yourself. But for the longest time, I used to have that negative attitude. I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm never going to yeah. meet anybody. And then finally I was like, I have to fucking be positive for like one day this week. Mm-hmm. And I met Jeff, and I know that's not perfect. And I know, you know, we met in a gay bar, but I think you do have to have a little bit of positive thinking.
Oh, you got
100%. I think that's half of it.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. The mix of cynicism and romanticism.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's this weird cocktail that you kind of have to drink every day.
You have to be cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
Right.
Is the main way to be. And I think that's the least annoying way to be for mm-hmm. those around you too, because you're being real.
Yeah.
But you're also, I think that there seems like maybe there's a lack of vulnerability in the relationship if she said all this stuff about hating relationships and then became in one.
Right.
Whereas if she said, I'm actually like really craving a relationship and I really want to meet someone, I think people feel like more calmed by someone getting into a relationship like that than someone who pretends that whatever situation they're in is the best situation that you could possibly be in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So. I don't even know what to do. Like I was thinking of like, what does this person do next? And
yeah, what are action steps? I don't have any.
Like I guess like I think like all three of you hanging out. Like I think like including everybody.
Yeah.
Where now like, you know, their entrance into your life isn't as planned out in the future. Like they can feel comfortable walking into your apartment and having relationships with both of you. Like you become friends with the couple as well as the person, because the whole idea of like this person obviously feels a lot of pressure to be like, let's make a plan. So much pressure that they're canceling these plans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if you cancel plans, those are plans you kind of were ready to cancel anyways.
Especially
right?
if you cancel more than once.
Right. If this is a thing you do. Yes. So it's like, why not? Like, let's have a chill hang. Let's get your new girlfriend involved. Let's get us all talking. Make them the star of the show. You know, tell us about your dating life. What's going on? Now you have a third person with a whole group of friends on their own that might be able to go, well, I've been thinking about this person or you know, it brings in a weak link to the group that kind of makes you guys all a hang. Like I enjoy the dynamic with like my married friends and being with both of them as opposed to like this, like, planned dinner date where we're going to discuss life and catch up. It feels too much.
I almost don't get nights off with just my husband. We're always in a group with our friends, right. Single, married, mixed, everything. Like we run in a pack. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's definitely like an episode of Friends. Like there are nights where I go, guys, I love everybody. You got to leave my fucking house so I can just talk to Jeff for like an hour alone. You know,
especially because you're like on the road and you probably don't get that much of that time together.
We'll be on the road and then like, hey, we're going to come stay at your house for 4 days. And I'm like, no, I need one night with my husband.
That's
alone.
A nightmare. Uh-huh. A 4 day house guest. Wow.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good idea. If she's real, I think she has to like evaluate the friendship, because she has to ask, like you said, she's canceled a couple of times. Does she actually like value this friendship? And I think it's okay sometimes if you're like, I'm not really connecting with this person at this stage of my life, and friendships ebb and flow. And maybe like there'll be a different time down the road where you can get closer. I don't think you need to like ax them as a friend.
Right.
But sometimes there's like a natural sort of like
pause, if you will.
Right. A natural pause, or just like a natural feeling of maybe not feeling like you're connecting the most with someone at this point in your lives. And maybe you'll connect more at a later date.
Also, can't they just say, listen, you're either going to be on board with this relationship and come hang out and be fun, or you're just going to be a fucking pain in my ass.
Well, that's the thing about the way that she's handling it is she's saying, I've abandoned her and I'm never around anymore, that makes you want to hang out with someone less. It's like when
needy, exhausting.
Yeah. So it's like when I call my mom, if I don't call my mom a lot, and then I call my mom and she's like, you never call me. Like I'm just, finally you called me. And it makes me want to call her less.
Yes.
If I call her and she's like, oh my, it's so great to hear from you. How are you? Like,
on a positive.
So sweet and no so nice. Guilt. I'll call her more.
Right. There's nothing worse than the fucking friendship guilt or the mom guilt.
Yeah.
Right. And it's funny because we our tendency with this email was to take the side of the, you know, the, we took the side of the single person. We were like, oh, the power dynamic. They, you know, they're in a relationship. Yeah. They're single and lonely. And it's like,
yeah.
The single lonely person can be annoying too.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Right? Like, yeah. the, you have to.
No one wants to be nagged into a friendship.
Right. Yeah. Tell this loser to get the fuck out of your face. Yeah. No.
Well, it sounds like it brings us full circle right. to what you were saying about like living in the South and honey versus vinegar. It's mm-hmm. like, if you want someone to like make you a priority in your life, make hanging out with you a really pleasant experience. Feel like you're like supporting their relationship.
Yes, there is be really nothing positive. Worse. Yeah, well, that one friend who's constantly like negative, or that one friend who's constantly like, "Well, this is how I felt." Like, or it's just constantly bothered. You
right.
know what I mean?
Like, I'm sure when you say you have your friends over your house, yeah. you go, "Hey, we're having drinks yeah. on the porch.
Yeah,
sweet tea or whatever you do yeah. in the South." And you're yeah. like, "We're gonna have pimento sandwiches.
Yeah,
come over. Mm-hmm. It's out. It's done." If you have a friend that goes, "We're always doing couple things," you yeah. go, "Then fucking go on J-Swipe. You're out of here." Shoot. "You were, I'm having a party.
Get
come
a pet.
Over.
I don't know. Right. What do you want?" Right. Just like, yeah, I don't know.
Right. It's so it goes yeah. both ways. It's like, you need, I think like that goes into the idea of like, open up your home, open mm-hmm. up your relationship mm-hmm. to this person who's, you know, table of one.
Yeah.
And if they can take that option or they cannot, I think, the idea of like, I would be so stressed out if someone was like, "So Tuesday night, mm-hmm. we have a dinner that is just you and me catching up." And I'd be like, "This isn't fun at all."
You've never had a dinner like that?
Me?
Yeah.
Fuck no. I got shit to do.
No, we all have one-on-ones though. You know, like it'd yeah. be like, okay, on Tuesday night, I'm having dinner with Ray. And then on Wednesday night, I'm having dinner with Tina. And like,
oh no, just go around with I notice this every time I'm at a bar.
It's a lot.
Every time I'm at a bar, you look around, it is female friendship. Yeah. Every table
I just
is
all the time.
Not one table is two dudes.
Guys.
Yeah.
Not
they,
one.
I feel like when guys do it, they have to mask it as like a business dinner.
Yeah. Right. Well, right. We're talking about crypto.
There's a like guy named Gabe Malika who has a one-man show about male friendship. Uh-huh. And it's very, he came on my other podcast and he gave this one great thing. He was like, male friendships happen, female friendships happen face-to-face. Male friendships happen like
shoulder to shoulder,
Right. to shoulder, yeah. like yeah. on a golf course.
Great so, of the intimacy,
right? So there's no eye looking in the eye or anything. We're just, but I think that's such an interesting thing. Is like, this is foreign to me,
right?
God, that's such a good perspective, because I've asked Jeff, like, if I know that if some of his guy friends are going through shit, and these guys will kind of cry together, but you're right, they're not looking each other in the eyes.
Never.
They're fly fishing, just not, as long
fantasy
as they're looking,
football.
As long as they're looking forward, they'll yes. be like, you know, my whole family died in a plane crash. You know, it's like heavy yeah. shit, and I'll ask like, how's such and such doing? Are they okay?
Oh
how's
my
the
God,
divorce?
So funny.
Whatever. And yeah. Jeff's like, we don't really talk about it. And I'm like, how do you not? I mean, Jeff, you've had diarrhea for a month. I'm concerned, right. and I've called everyone I know.
Had dinners about your diarrhea. Yes, diarrhea to dinners.
I've been giving the...
running dinners.
That's so incredibly true. There's like absolutely no intimate conversations.
No, we do a lot of staring out at the sea while crying.
Yeah.
When Mike gets back from something with his friends, I'll be like, like exactly the same. I'll be like, how'd it go? They're having a baby. What are they having? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That is the number one question.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't ask.
Right. I'm like, didn't ask. And don't care.
As a woman, if we did not ask those questions, we would be considered the most narcissistic cunt. Mm-hmm. Right?
A whole side text.
There'd be a whole side text.
Yeah.
Literally went out with the girls. She didn't even fucking ask me. Mm-hmm. You know why my period's been so heavy?
Right.
Do I have fibroids? I don't know, but that should have been a question.
Exactly.
At the Olive Garden.
You didn't even ask.
I mean, this is the thing. This is why, like, when when women are out, we get a lot of single women that write in about dating and stuff, where they're like, these guys, like, we have never talked about, you guys are like pros by the time you're in a relationship. You're like, let's unpack that. And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, every trip with my buddies is just making fun of each other until we go to bed and we're so drunk.
I think that needs to change.
I don't know how to change it.
It's got to change, because then by the time men get into like a serious relationship, they have no idea what they're doing. And then you're like, and how did you feel about that? Bad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very horny. I am not going to be the guy who changes this, because I'm not going to go, guys, let's all get together and have some practice deep conversations about our lives. They'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Take the golf club out of your asshole. It's over. You know, like, it would be
You'd
all
have
the,
to trick them.
Right. My husband recently found out he has like white coat syndrome, which is where you get like really high blood pressure at the doctor's office. Okay. Men in general are just hypochondriacs.
So it gives them a false, bad.
Yeah. So the doctor was like, ooh, he's got to get nose surgery. He has a broken nose. They're like, okay, well, this is a really high blood pressure. Maybe let's consider putting on blood pressure medication before this surgery just to make sure it's regulated. So Jeff comes home and he goes, babe, do you think you could give me your therapist's number? And I said, for what? And he goes, my doctor says I have high blood pressure. And I said, you only have high blood pressure because you get nervous at the doctor. Right. Like, you don't need to start doing psychotherapy because of it. This is a completely isolated incident. Yeah. Your doctor walked you through it. We can give you a pill before this nose surgery. And he's like, I think today's the day. It wasn't until somebody said he had high blood pressure. Not the family trauma. Not this. Yeah. Not stress at work. It's this one thing. I got to get my nose fixed. So now I'm going to see a therapist. I'm like, it's a hockey injury, Jeff.
It's time to talk about my feelings.
Yes. Like, what?
I would have welcomed that. I would have been like, "Yeah, we got to get you to the therapist. Talk about blood pressure, and then maybe some other childhood stuff."
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, Heather, this was fantastic.
Hey, you guys are great. And I'm so excited to have you on my podcast. And we're going to talk all the things, because I have a lot of single people who are on my podcast. And I want y'all to give just sound advice.
Amazing.
We will give advice. Yeah, sound
that
we'll
be, they'll be the judge of that. Yes.
Listen, everyone go follow Heather. go to the shows. The tour is happening. The comeback tour. Go to Heather's website. Get your tickets. Radio City Music Hall, June 17th.
Yeah, baby.
Absolutely Not is the podcast, and I think we solved dating again.
We did it. See you on Wednesday. The U Up Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Maddie Paul, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Maddie Paul. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com. Betches.